This week I had the privilege of hearing three different occasions where people gave their confession of faith, and it was an immediate action based on their awareness that it had a very distinctive need. And the reality is we seldom act quickly if we don't understand our need. And so as you think about your own journey of faith, think about the moments where you paused, you hesitated, you waited, and in reality God intended for you to act quickly in order to experience what He intended for you. And what transpires is that you end up going through a season of confusion and challenge versus experiencing what God really wanted you to have in the first place. And it's interesting because Jesus, in His ministry, His earthly ministry, He finds Himself, and today we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 4. If you open your Bible there, as you're leading up to Matthew chapter 4, Jesus obviously realizes that the mandate before Him from the Father is to bring people to an awareness to seek Him first, and to learn to keep Him first in everything. And so, as a result, Jesus encounters John the Baptist. John the Baptist, before chapter 4, John the Baptist baptizes him. And then out of that, Jesus encounters the Satan and the temptations that he has to deal with. And it's interesting because when you get to verse 12, Jesus hears that John the Baptist has been arrested, and Jesus brings them to a very clear point of taking action and learning how to move forward. And so today, as you think about that, I want you to ask yourself this question. What are the advantages of acting immediately? In other words, are there some basis by which we realize, you know, if I do this now, for example, when it says pray without ceasing, is there a basis for that that really moves us forward? When the Bible says that we should be willing to give out of a willing heart, what is it when we take action and we give, He does something inside of us? What happens if all of a sudden we begin to realize that the promises of His Word and the power that rests inside of our lives is directly linked to us being willing to take action? And what you discover is, as you start taking action, something begins to transpire inside of you. Now, I want you to think about a couple words that are really key to this entire study. The first word is the word kingdom. And what you're going to see interlaced into the entire series we're looking at is, what is the kingdom all about, okay? And when Jesus comes to introduce people to the kingdom, it was all about encompassing the spiritual kingdom that they had a privilege of being a part of by encountering Him in salvation. In other words, you can't get into an understanding of the kingdom if you don't understand who the king is. I mean, if you all of a sudden go, you know, I just want to have a religious experience that doesn't get me anywhere, Jesus had already watched as religion had done what it had done. It had cost John the Baptist everything he anticipated being able to do because religion said John the Baptist is out of tune. And what happens is you start getting a kingdom mindset. So here's what I want you to get in mind as it relates to who you are. If you know who you are in Him, then you know how He works through you. If you know how He works through you, then you get the privilege of being able to experience life the way He intended. So the kingdom mindset, and what I want to show you, we're going to see this because oftentimes people miss this. Jesus brings back the same focal point all through the Gospel of Matthew, bringing it back to the kingdom. That's why our theme verse for the entire study is in Matthew 6. But the second word I want you to think about is the idea of what it means to seek first. Those two words. What does it mean to seek first? And it has to do with placing the highest priority on what really matters, what truly matters. In other words, being able to say, you know what, this really does have significance. This does have purpose. This does have meaning for me. And all of a sudden, I start seeking first what matters, and I start realizing, you know what, if I'm going to live this life God intends for me, then I've got to keep Him first in everything. So I want you to think about, as you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, why did Jesus bring to light that we would seek first the kingdom and His righteousness so that all these things could be added to us? In other words, how do you conquer anxiety? How do you conquer challenges that are coming your way? How do you conquer confusion that seems to sometimes inundate your world? How do you get there? You learn how to live out Matthew 6:33. So look at it with me if you would, because when you look at it, He says, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So what's the addition? What's the math that gives us the blessing? Watch this. If you want to have confidence instead of confusion, if you want to have purpose instead of pain, if you want to have power instead of weakness, You learn how to seek the right thing. You learn how to plug into the right power, and you learn how to move forward. And I was visiting this week with someone whose husband had been going through lots of health problems, and it's interesting because his heart is playing out in a lot of different ways. And so when in talking to her, she began to tell me about what he was getting ready to have by way of experience. And they were getting ready to put into his body this heart pump that as long as you keep power in it, you have no problem. Your blood pumps, you do great. And so at night, what he does is he plugs himself in. And the whole time she was telling me this story, I was thinking, what happens if you unplug? I mean, what if you roll over and pull your plug loose? And as she was telling me that, I started thinking about how often we don't seek him first and we unplug our power. We unplug the power of what God could do in our lives. We unplug the opportunity God has for it simply because we allow things to get in the way of what should be first. And by the way, when he says kingdom and righteousness, I'll show you today that he sets in motion this whole idea of experiencing righteousness by using one key word that you and I will be able to understand much clearer by the time we finish today. So turn back to Matthew chapter 4. That's really the focal point for our message today. And as you're looking at it, I want to just pick some verses out, then we'll come back to the text and grab hold of all of it. First of all, look at verse 17, Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Look on, though. Look, if you would, at verse 20. Immediately, they left their nets, immediately, and began to follow him. Immediately. Then look, if you would, at verse 22. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, when you read this, and we're going to come back to the whole, get the entire context of what Jesus is trying to get across. The key word here is immediate. Because when they heard him speak, they said, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to move forward. We're going to accomplish what he intends for our life. And I want you to think about this. What happens if we quit delaying what ultimately God intends to do in our lives and we start experiencing what he intends to do in our life? I can tell you what happened. Our lives gets richer. Our lives gets more profoundly defined. Our energy becomes greater and our spirits are more enthused. And what Jesus was doing was he was setting in motion people who were going to, their whole life was going to change. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Because if you'll think about it, those he is getting ready to call out are people who live in a routine. They fish. They have a routine. They do what they do with their nets. They do what they do with this, all they've ever known. I mean, imagine that Jesus is looking at these guys and saying, you know what? The whole thing of what you've done your whole life is going to change in a moment. I want to ask you this. What would happen if Jesus said to you, your routine is about to change? And your routine, if you change it, there's a great reward. You're going to change things up. And I want you to think about this for a second. What would happen if we took the routine of our own lives? In other words, if we said, okay, Lord, I want to re-script my life. I want to see you do something that only you can do. And as a result, I want to experience encountering you in an amazing and powerful new way. You see, for each one of them, this idea of routine was their way of life. And Jesus is getting ready to change their lives forever. And it's not by accident the Bible says that they left not just their boats, but they left their father. Now, I want you to think about that emotional connection. I mean, these are boys who, all likelihood, they honored their father. But they encountered someone who said, guess what? What you have been doing, you're no longer going to do. Fishing for fish is no longer your goal. And I want you to imagine today, as you think about your own life, what if you all of a sudden took your routine, put it on hold, and said to the Lord, I want to do something new. I want to do something real. I want to experience something powerful. I want to know that you're at work in me. And all of a sudden you start, wait a minute now. So there's a reward to me changing my routine? Yes, you get to experience God the way he intended. Because what transpires, watch this, what transpires in Matthew chapter 4 is setting in motion what he is going to try to convey to them as he preaches the Sermon on the Mount. All right? And so as you think about your own journey of faith, I want you to imagine that all of a sudden you look at your routine and say, you know what, this thing's not working. It's not working like I want it to. I'm on autopilot. I'm not moving forward like I'd like to in life. I'm not experiencing what God intended for me. And what happened? Today you get energized and going, you know what? If I seek Him first, if I take immediate action, if I move forward without hesitation, what happens to me? I begin to experience what He wanted for me, because all of a sudden He becomes everything to me. Imagine what would happen for each one of us if we walked out of church today and said, this day God's given me, I choose not to operate in the routine that I've always operated in. I choose to let my faith abound in a way that I never dreamed possible. I can tell you what happened. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak to our hearts and lives. We begin to encounter Him in a new and fantastic way. And I listened even last night to a testimony on TV of someone telling their testimony about what happened when they prayed a simple prayer and said, Jesus, come into my life. And it's interesting what the person said. The person said, I really didn't anticipate anything, but they ended up experiencing everything. So here's what I want you to get in mind. It may be you're here today and you didn't anticipate experiencing very much, but all of a sudden God begins to do something in you to cause you to go, you know what, I can encounter Him in a new, vibrant, and dynamic way. I can tell you what happened to all of us. When that happened, something goes on inside of us. The Holy Spirit begins to work inside of our lives, and we begin to see that in the simplicity of what Jesus said, there's great opportunity. So today, as you think about that, I want you to grasp three very distinctive concepts, all right? The first one has to do with understanding, okay? Because Jesus uses some very clear, strong words. And if you look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, notice what transpired. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, He withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea. Look on down, because you'll notice in verse 16, it says, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. And from that time, watch this, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what you discover is when you learn how to understand something, and the most important thing that you and I grasp today is understanding how to follow Him. Because if I understand how to follow Him, then I understand one key word, because He uses a word here in verse 17, repent. All right? So watch this. Repentance is to turn away from what I'm doing wrong. So if I'm doing the wrong thing, I turn away from it. Watch this, though. I turn towards righteousness. Okay? So what does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So what Jesus says in Matthew 4 is, I have a clear message for every person who will ever be born on earth. Every person who will ever hear my story, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All right? So what He gets across here is this idea of repentance is our willingness to turn our hearts away from sin and watch as His heart opens up our lives to the kingdom. In other words, when I all of a sudden turn away from what it is that captures me and I turn towards the freedom that rests in knowing Jesus, then all of a sudden I begin to experience the kingdom that He intended for me. So think about this for a moment. You turn away from something that could cost you everything. I mean, it's interesting. I'm telling you, even this morning, listening to testimony of someone whose heart turned towards Him, who turned towards Him. Listening to the testimony this week of someone whose heart turned towards Him. And what happens is, watch it, when I turn away from what it is, it cost me everything, and I turn towards everything He ever had planned for me. Because watch it, when you're righteous, you're right with Him. When you're right with Him, you have a great life. The people who encounter great lives are those who choose to live righteous lives. Righteously connected to His purpose, righteously connected to His plan. So imagine that you're here today and you read these words and you see what Jesus is getting across. And it's interesting because what Jesus is doing, He's changing the rhythm of all of their lives. Okay? So they have a particular song that they have been playing inside of their life. And that rhythm does something like this. Today we go out and we fish. Tonight we bring home what we caught. And they had this rhythm. It was all connected to what they did. And then all of a sudden, Jesus sings a new song for them. Jesus sings a song inside of their hearts that's very clear. And it's interesting because what happens is Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 9. And the reason he quotes this is because without Jesus, there is no light. Imagine what happens if all the light is gone and the darkness is there, and then all of a sudden the light appears. And it's interesting to me, by the way, Jesus comes off the heels of being tempted by Satan himself, and he doesn't waste any time with things that didn't matter. He comes straight into focus of what you and I must understand. And listen carefully. If you don't understand repentance, you won't understand righteousness. If you don't understand repentance, then you won't know how to seek him first in everything. And so what happens in our life story is we get confused about what it really means to turn away. And we keep our foot on the other side of the fence. So every once in a while, we can experience what the world has for us. And the truth is, when you do that, you misunderstand what Jesus is trying to say to us in this text, because he wants us to have understanding. And when you understand something, it moves you miles. If you understand what it is he's trying to get across to you. So today he says, the rhythm of your life. I mean, watch this. He's getting ready to write a whole new song, which, by the way, is centered in two words, follow me. I mean, wouldn't you love to just have that concept down, follow me? And that's exactly what he does here. So first of all, I want you to think about this. You're sitting in church and you get the challenge. Can I understand repentance? And do I understand the connection of repentance to righteousness? And if I do, then, and by the way, these words are not used a lot in our culture, and it's, let me tell you why. Because the adversary would like them to be erased. Because the power, watch this, the power of saying to Jesus, I want you in my life, changes everything about who you are. Because when you say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, I ask you to come into my life, what happens is you become a part of his great story. And he writes a new song in your heart as well. But you have to be willing to look inside your own heart and see what it is that God has for you. And as you know, I'm a grandfather, and so I watch my kids as they raise their children and everything. And it's interesting to watch them because they do things that I probably was not good at all when I was a parent trying to impact them. And I've watched them, and they'll do something like this. Are you looking at me? Look me in the eye. And, you know, I'm not sure. I think I just went straight to the punishment part when they were growing up. I don't think I ever did look in your eye part. And I watched, and all of a sudden it gets their attention, and they start focusing, and they begin to listen, and they get it. And if they don't, they also do, I'm counting to three. One, two, three. And it's amazing what three can do. Three inspires. Three motivates. But I'm going to tell you what you discover. Let me tell you what Jesus wants to say to each one of us regarding understanding. He wants us to look into his eyes and understand how much he loves us. And when we look into his eyes and see how much he loves us, then we begin to understand and grasp that he doesn't want to count to 40 till we give our heart to him. He doesn't want to count to 50 until we say yes to submitting to his will. I mean, what if today he wants to say to each one of us, move forward? And you can't miss what he's saying here when he talks about darkness and light, because that's what repentance does. Second thing I want you to see. The first thing is, learn how to understand. Because if you understand, you can grasp it, move forward in it. And if you don't understand, then you struggle through all the different aspects of life. And which, by the way, Jesus models simplicity, because simplicity is brilliant. Because when you get a simple understanding of it, you don't get confounded by anything. And I picked up a book. I was at Lifeway yesterday, and I picked up a book. Have you ever read something you went, that's so far above my head, I'll never get it? You ever had that experience? And I was reading this book, and I was like, it's so funny because, I mean, it had a great cover, by the way. And most people buy the book for the cover, you know. And so I put it down, and I went to check on something else, and I came back. And a lady was sitting next to me at the store. She'd picked it up, and so she placed it back down. I said, did you get it? She said, no. I didn't get it. I said, well, I didn't either. I'm not reading that book. You're not buying it. And it was too deep, too wide, too challenging. And here's what I want you to get in mind regarding your own faith journey. If you make your faith complicated, you'll miss everything God intended for you. If you sit and process things, and in other words, if you sit and say, oh man, I'm just going to figure out this particular variable, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get caught up in that variable, and you're going to miss the message that God has for you. So today, I want you to think about what happens if you understand simply, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Is that not a priority? Is it at hand? Is it not immediate? Does it not demand that we take action? It does. All right? Second thing I want you to see. Look at it with me, because you'll notice it as it unfolds, verse 18. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I want you to stop and think about this, because they had, in one moment, they had to accept his word that their lives could change forever. They had to be willing to say, you mean you're going to change me forever? So here's the question I want you to think about. And I want you to get these concepts in mind. Was it random? Was it random that Jesus walked by when Peter and Andrew were there? And the answer is absolutely not. Was it random when God knocked on your heart's door? Was it random that in the midst of adversity, he became your story? Was it random that he met you where you are to take you where he wants you to go? No. So Jesus, he encounters him, he's walking by. Now I want you to imagine this for a second. There's no doubt that their awareness completely of who Jesus is at this point is certainly not great, because we know that later on they still don't get figuring him out. All right? But imagine that Jesus walking by, and he walked by and he just says, you know, he's looking, he said, okay, Joe, I want you to follow me forever. Well, Joe's sitting there going, I got a boat. I have fish. That's all I've ever known. But Joe says, wait a minute now. That guy speaks with authority. I mean, he says it with such authority that it grabs me. And I want you to imagine this for a second. All of a sudden, Jesus speaks to you the same way. He says, hey, quit identifying yourself in what you're going through. Identify yourself in me. Because remember, here's what happened. We have no idea what all Peter and Andrew were facing. We have no idea what they were encountering. But we do know this. Jesus came by. It was not by random. And let me just say this to you unequivocally. You are not in church by random choice. A person can go to QT and buy a lottery ticket and win $1 million. That's a random drawing. But you're in church not by random definition. You are here because of God's great design. So imagine what happens if you start, watch this, you start accepting his words as your guiding light for everything, as your guiding principles. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus walks by. They don't know who he, they have very little recognition who he is, but I'm going to tell you what they do know. They do know that there was supposed to be somebody show up who's going to change everything. There's no doubt about that. But they had no idea when Jesus makes this statement to them, follow me. And what I want you to see today is not just follow me, but notice the next three words he says, and I will. Here's my question. Is there anything too difficult for God? Could he take your broken heart and heal it? Could he take your wounded spirit and give you strength again? Could he take your circumstances and lead them to his greater glory? Could he take your pain and show you his purpose? Could he, watch this, take your sorrow and give you his joy? And the answer is yes, 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 yes. But you have to be willing to accept his word. And that's exactly what they did. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So here's the question. If you look statistically at history, history records that about 95% of everyone who ever, watch this, confess his name, never goes fishing. Never goes out into, and I'm not talking about fishing for fish. Never takes the time to think about the person they live by, the person they work with, the person they encounter. And what happens is, watch this, the same command and principle that was conveyed inside of Matthew chapter 4 still lives on today. And what would happen if everyone who'd ever known you never told you about Jesus? Never said, hey, this is the key. And I'm going to tell you, the reason this message is important, Jesus is the key to everything about who you'll ever be all of your entire life journey. You want to experience him, you got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to turn myself over to you. And I'm going to accept your word. And it's interesting, all through history, people tried to doubt his word. Tried to doubt his promises. And yet, you show me somebody who's looking for hope, you give them the promise that God so loves you that he died for you, and they find hope. And what I want you to see today is this. You start accepting this, and here's what happened. You start following, because Jesus said, follow me. Which, by the way, he didn't say follow religion. He didn't say follow. He said, follow me. Which, by the way, is the key to everything. But when you start following him, what happens? You start making impact. And here's what I want you to get in mind. If you accept his word, your life impact will all be defined as a result of your obedience. In other words, you start obeying him. Which, by the way, if you're here today, if you simply said, Lord, I choose to obey you. I choose to obey you no matter what. No matter what I'm facing. You want your marriage restored? Obey him. You want your life restored? Obey him. You want your confusion restored? Obey him. And all of a sudden, your impact becomes greater. You start moving forward in a more profound and powerful way. Imagine what would happen today if we understood what he wants to do in us. And then we began to grasp how he wants to work through us. Because what Jesus does here is the first thing he says, this is our message. But you are the messenger. He said, the message is clear. This is the kingdom. And by the way, when we get to Matthew chapter 10, to run the clock forward into March, when we get to Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gets ready to send a bunch of people on out to do everything they've been told to do. And in Matthew chapter 10, he makes a statement. Don't take anything with you, it doesn't matter, because it's irrelevant. And what you get ready to say, don't worry about having such fabulous words that you can say them no matter what. I'll tell you exactly what to say when you're supposed to say it. Which, by the way, when you learn that, you begin to learn how to live out with great impact what God wants to do through you. All right, so imagine for a second. You're sitting in church today and you begin to understand what the message is. The message is, he's everything. And by the way, you want your children to have hope in life. You want your grandchildren to have hope in life. You better teach them the message. You better let them know that Jesus is the answer. And I can tell you, long past my life journey and my wife's life journey, one thing I deeply desire no matter what is that my grandchildren and their children would know that we live for one person, and that was Jesus. That is our entire story. So if you understand the message and you know that you're the messenger and you start saying, wait a minute. So see, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And then look at verse 20. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Now, I want you to get this. Is it random that he encounters them? It's not. And what I want you to get in mind regarding your own journey of faith, listen, the storm you're going through is not a random storm. It takes you somewhere. The challenge you're going through is not a random challenge. It's something he has for you. And I want to challenge you, interrupt your routine. Don't blame, bless him. Don't sit and go, you know what, if he wouldn't let this happen to me, I would be so many miles in. Listen, you would be a train wreck if he didn't help you through your storm. You just had to learn how to bless him instead of blaming him. And I meet people all the time. They always want to put something at his feet that's a result of their choice. And listen carefully. We make unwise choices. What does he do? In his redemptive way, he moves us forward. He shows us how to find light again. And I want to ask you today, as you think about your own journey, what would happen if you started getting immediate when it comes to action? In other words, somebody you meet, you say to them, you know what, this is the hope of the world. This is the answer God has for you. This is what gives you hope. This is what gives you light. This is what gives you the opportunity. I'm going to tell you, I challenge you all today to think about what happens if you just act immediately. I can tell you what happened. You have the best week of your life. A few weeks ago, I preached about a principle that I had learned about how to live this day. And it was interesting because the interaction with one of our members that week, I read their text message to me, and they completely got it. Because this is the day God gives us. This is the day we should live for Him. But the third thing I want you to see in verses 20 and following is that all of a sudden, you start, he says to them, immediately they left their nets, and he went on, and then he sees these other two brothers. In verse 22, immediately they left the boat with their father and followed him. And Jesus, he was going throughout Galilee, verse 23, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness, etc. So what was he getting across? The message of the kingdom was the message of salvation. This is what you need in order to live. And what Jesus does with all those who are hanging out with him, he wanted to do something that was so powerful. He wanted to shift their focus. And I want you to think about this, because shifting your focus to what matters will always result in immediate action. In other words, you shift your focus. For example, if I said to you today, what if your attitude and perspective was shifted away from what you think to what he thinks? What if you looked at what you're facing, no matter what it is? By the way, if you're not facing anything, it means you probably are not in his hand. And when you're in his hand, there's somebody trying to snatch you out. The adversary comes at you in a different way. But what Jesus does is he shifts their focus, because what he wanted to do was he wanted them to grasp what happens when you learn to live for something bigger than yourself. And that's interesting, because nothing delayed the decision they were going to make, because that delay would have messed up the guarantee of an amazing adventure. And so the Bible says they acted immediately. So I want you to think about this in light of where we are today in our own journeys of faith. And I want you to imagine that you start saying, I'm going to understand that. I'm going to put it in action. I'm going to shift my focus. Which, by the way, if you spend more time analyzing your own heart, you won't waste a lot of time analyzing somebody else's. If you spend more time analyzing your own spirit, you won't sit around going, I'm frustrated by so-and-so, I'm frustrated by so-and-so. Instead, you start saying, well, I want to be used by you. I want to be a vessel worthy of honor towards you. And what happens is, when you get there, when you start stopping all those delays, you start having this amazing adventure. And so today, as you look at what Jesus does, obviously, what is it leading up to? It's leading up to the Sermon on the Mount. Which, by the way, we'll come to that. Because when he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be satisfied. I mean, isn't there a point there? Which, by the way, look over Matthew 3 real quick. I want to show you one other thing. Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. I did that because somebody put your Bible up. All right, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. I wasn't finished yet. Verse 15. Listen to what he said. Jesus answered and said to him, permitted at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So, what was John the Baptist saying? Man, I'm not worthy to do this. I'm not, this is not my spot. And Jesus said, no, this is to fulfill all righteousness. Which shows you something. When you are completely right in him, you understand how he works. All right, so to wrap this all together, I just want to give you three very key action steps for an adventure. Because what James and John and what Peter and Andrew, what they experienced was nothing short of an adventure. Three very distinctive things I want you to think about as you go out of this house today. The first thing is this. If you're going to have an adventure, you have to love Jesus. You have to love him. I mean, you have to love him no matter what. And I'm going to tell you what love does. Love takes you so far. And last night, we had our fifth born little grandbaby at our house. And that little girl, Isla, she's attached to her mom. And so if mom's not in the room, she does not always have a pleasant disposition. I mean, she expresses herself with great clarity. And she can cry like nobody's business. And so we had her at our house, and she's only 4 months old or so, so it's not like she's a big thing. You think you can convince a four-year-old not to cry. And the reality is, what do you have to do? You have to distract them from what their initial focus is to zero in on something else. And so I'm upstairs with her older brother, and I hear Isla preaching to Cindy in a vibrant way. Wah, wah, wah. I'm like, man, Because normally Cindy can calm anything down. And so I went down there, and I picked her up. And I realized, first of all, I realized if she's looking at me, it's bigger trouble. Because she knows I'm not dad, I'm not mom. So I turn her around the other way, and I start moving her around in different directions. And so, as you know me very well, you know I like to make a lot of pictures. And so I thought, I've got her calmed down, make some pictures. And I've got this picture of her that, now remember, she can't see me because she's looking the other way, but she can see my camera. And I have this picture of her where she's, you know, she's normal. She's looking around, observing everything. Then she realizes who's looking at her. I'm in the picture. And I've got a picture of her with her lip starting to quiver, and then her face starting to get sad. And then what does she get? Begins to express herself again. And I put my phone down really quick because I realized that the only way I could really convey my love for her is not let her look at me. You understand that, don't you? I can see you laughing. You understand that. This is a sad thing to look at. And so I turned to the other direction. And as I was turning her, I thought about, you know what? That's really how life is sometimes. We look at ourselves, we look at ourselves, we look at ourselves, and we fall out of love with the one that matters most, that's Jesus. We had to look to Jesus. We had to love Jesus. Second thing is, we need to make sure that if we're going to live this adventure out that God has for it, what did these four men have in common? They discovered community. They became a part of a family. And that's why we, at this church, we have small groups. We have Sunday morning Bible study. We have different opportunities. We have fantastic teachers. There's all kinds of community. I want to invite you, if you've not been involved in a class, take advantage. Get involved. Experience a class. Go to one of the fantastic teachers. There's a whole list of them out there. Welcome to it. You can find out all about it. But community. These guys got community. The third thing is, I want you to think about, as it relates to you, what happens if you just elevate your impact? What if you said today, nothing's getting in my way? I'm going to be in his house. Watch it. I'm going to be in his house. I'm going to seek his face. I'm going to pursue his kingdom. I mean, it energizes. Let me tell you, I come into his house every single moment knowing this is his day. If you're here today and you've never made that decision to say, I want to repent, I want to give Jesus my heart, I want to encourage you to do so. If you're here today and you've never taken a next step of action, maybe you need to be baptized. Why did Jesus model baptism? Because he knew something. He knew that if he modeled it, somebody else might get it and take immediate action. Which, by the way, read the New Testament. What happens in the New Testament? Immediate. Somebody comes to Christ, they get baptized. They give their heart to Jesus, they get baptized. So if you're here, never done that, I want to invite you to do that as well. Third thing is this. If you're here today and you need to become a part of our family and you realize something, you need to be in a place where they challenge you to live out something that's bigger than yourself. I want to invite you to become a part of our family today. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Take immediate action. If God's speaking to you, I guarantee you this, you're going to encounter him in a new and a profound way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Jesus, that you said it so clearly. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we need to act on that. Lord, if there's someone here who needs just to take action at that point, to be baptized, I pray that you speak to the heart. If there's someone here who's looking for an answer to follow you, and they need to become a part of our family, Lord, speak to them. Or if there's someone here who just needs someone to intercede over them to help them find your way, I ask you to speak to their hearts and lives as well. Lord, move in your house, move in our fellowship, move in our church, and Lord, even move in our nation. Turn our hearts towards you. And I pray this in Jesus' amazing name. Amen.